This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about the process of making quality decisions in life. Decisions are important in our lives because decisions have consequences. Here's something that if you haven't written it down yet, I'd like for you to write down. The decisions I make today will determine the course of my life. The decisions that I make today will determine the course of my life. As we've gone through this series, we've looked at Galatians 6:7, which says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Whatever decisions you make today, you are going to reap the consequences of those decisions. What you sow, you will reap. And so the decisions that I make today will determine the course of my life. My old pastor always used to say, "You are only one decision away from disaster. You are only one decision away from disaster." Suppose I was to decide to walk out of this building, walk over to Derry Street, stand out in the middle of the street, and as soon as I saw a truck coming, jump in front. I am only one decision away from disaster. Let's take it home a little bit further. Do you realize that with almost every one of you here today, I could make a decision right now to step down off this platform, walk up to you, and say something that would cause you to leave this church and never come back? I could do it. I am one decision away from disaster. And so it is vitally important for us to learn how to make good decisions. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is doing everything that he can to encourage you, to deceive you into making dumb decisions in life. And some of us would have to say, he's done a good job so far. Amen? Helping us to make dumb decisions in life. Well, today, I want to give you a simple process that will put you in position to make quality decisions in your life on a consistent basis. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, out of these verses, we want to draw a process for making quality decisions in life. Let me give you those steps. Number one, I must change my motivation in life. I must change my motivation in life. Catch this. All of our lives, we have focused on satisfying the demands of our flesh. Anybody disagree with me? Go back to when you were a baby. What did you want? Feed me. Isn't that right? Feed me. Your little tummy said, "I'm empty." You said what? "I want to fill it." Your mama was fast asleep. Had a hard day. Did you care? No. You wanted to be fed. Isn't that right? You got a little bit older. Your mom made some cake and some cookies and she put them away and said, "Don't touch them." What did your flesh say? "I want them." Isn't that right? Why? Because you were used already as a little child to satisfying the desires of your flesh. You got a little bit older. You got into junior high school. Well, you weren't concerned so much about cookies and milk and candy now, but you were concerned about being one of the crowd. You know, I got to be cool. I can't be the odd person out. I got to be part of the group. Amen. I got to have my little boyfriend and my little girlfriend like everybody else, or people will think I'm odd. You remember back to that? What was going on? Your flesh was still saying, satisfy me. I need to feel accepted. I need to feel like people like me. So do what's necessary. And if that means that I have to run with a group that my parents don't approve of, that's what you did. We grew up all of our lives motivated by the desire to satisfy our flesh. And now in Romans 8:12, look again at what God tells us. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. You know what God is telling us? From the moment that you become a Christian, you are no longer focusing, or you no longer have the right to focus on satisfying the demands of your own flesh. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 20. Keep your finger in Romans 8. But go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do you see it? The word says we no longer have a right to focus our lives on satisfying the demands of our own flesh. Why? We have been bought with a price by Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for you. Amen? He paid the greatest price that could be paid in order to purchase you and remove you out of the clutch of the enemy and bring you into the marvelous light. Jesus paid the price. He bought you. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord of your life, you gave your approval to the transaction. Now catch this. When I went to Colorado to work for IBM years ago now, I bought a house out there. And I fixed that house up the way I wanted it. I remember when I got there, it was a little, the garage did not have a garage door opener. I installed one. And in Colorado, because there's not a lot of water, people landscape with rocks. I didn't like the rocks. So I dug the rocks up and put grass down and watered it. Got that house the way I wanted it. Well, just this year, I went back out there, drove around to my old house. Do you know what those people were doing? They were changing everything I did. I mean, I drove by and where I had landscaped the front lawn and it looked great, they were messing with it. Redoing the driveway. Got on my nerves. But now, here's the point. The moment I put my signature on the piece of paper that transferred ownership to them, that house ceased to be my concern. The moment that they bought that house, took title to it, they had the right to reshape it in whatever way they wanted to do. Why? Because they are the owners. And now the purpose of that house is no longer to please me, but to please the new owners. Guess what? If you are a Christian, you got new ownership. Amen? Your purpose in life is no longer to please yourself. It's to please the new owner. And his name is Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not sure everybody here can relate to the new house. Let me try another example. I've got a nice silver Honda out there. Used to look real good. Suppose you bought my car. And we signed all the paperwork and title transferred to you. The moment you owned that car, you said, I'm taking it down to the body shop. I'm going to have them paint this thing deep purple with lime green on the top. And I look at you and I go, are you crazy? I mean, that's a beautiful looking car. How can you paint it purple with green on the top? What's your answer? It's my car. What business is it of yours? Doesn't have anything to do with you anymore. I don't care whether you like purple or not. I like it. Amen. So I'll do what I want to with it. Catch it. You belong to Jesus Christ now. You as a Christian no longer have the right to operate in your life to please the former owner. You got to please the one who's in charge right now. And that's Jesus. You see, I have to reorient myself. I have to change my entire motivation in life. No longer do I live for myself. I live for Jesus. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verses 14 and 15. Here's the truth about you. If you are a Christian, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the way you need to be thinking about life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all die. Here it is, verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for you. You accepted his sacrifice if you are a Christian. And what that means is, from that moment, the love of Christ should be compelling you that you should no longer live for yourself, but unto him who died for you and rose again. A Christian, becoming a Christian, changes the whole orientation of your life from self to God. That's the way it is when you get married. When you get married, your orientation has to change from self to include your mate. Isn't that right? It had better. A few weeks ago, Priscilla goes off to school. Some of you know she has to leave home at about 6 o'clock in the morning. She got in her car, drove off. Pretty soon, I receive a phone call. My car stopped. So what did I do? I looked at the clock. I saw it wasn't even 6:30 yet. I said, honey, you got your AAA card, and I turned over and went back to sleep. How many of you think I did that? No. What did I do? I got up, got my clothes on, got in my car, went down and found her, and then pushed her all the way home. Amen. Why? Because I could no longer be just concerned about myself. See, from that moment that I married her, I gave up the right to only be concerned about myself. Let me tell you something. It just so happened that it was very soon after she left home that she called. So it wasn't far to find her. But if she had made it all the way to Lancaster and called from there, you know what I would have done? Get in the car and go get her. She's my wife. And from the moment I married her, I gave up my right to think only of myself. Let me tell you something. If you're married and your focus is trying to please yourself and get for yourself, you're going to have a miserable marriage. Amen? And catch this. If you're a Christian living to please yourself, you're going to have a miserable life. Now, this is not even part of the message, but let me say this. You know what this tells us? There should be no such thing as a selfish Christian. There should be no such thing as a selfish Christian. It's an oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? It's something that's self-contradictory. You know, like a heavy cloud, or hot ice, or a rich pauper. See, it's self-contradictory. The two terms don't go together, like Eagles win Super Bowl. Terms just don't go together. Amen? Oxymoron. Well, that's what selfish Christian is. It's an oxymoron. The terms don't go together. If you're a Christian, your focus is on serving and pleasing Jesus Christ. And catch this. If you serve Christ, you can't refuse to serve the ones he loves. Amen? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. That's what a Christian is like. Here's the second thing. Number one, I have to change my motivation. Number two, I must put to death the deeds of the body. Look at Romans 8:13 again. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, what is death? And here's the example I always like to use. Suppose you have somebody that you don't like, and you've been trying to get back at this person for a long time, and they die. And so you go to the funeral or go to the viewing. The body is there in the casket. You walk up to it. You look around. Nobody's looking. And you say, I got you now. And you pull a big, sharp needle out of your pocket, and you jab it right into them. What kind of reaction are you going to get? Nothing. Why? Because dead is dead. Amen? It means they are totally unresponsive. That hunk of meat in the casket will not respond to you no matter what you do to it. Dead is dead. Now catch it. When I put to death the deeds of the body, that means I become totally unresponsive to the demands of my flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is my natural thoughts, feelings, and desires. That which operates in me naturally that wants to satisfy itself. And when I become a child of God, when I change ownership from myself to Jesus Christ, what he tells me is I have to put to death the deeds of the body. What does that mean? I become unresponsive to the demands of my flesh. I've got to die. I have to die to pleasing my fleshly desires. My flesh desires to stay in bed when I know I ought to get up. I got to die to that. My flesh desires to stay up when I know I ought to be in bed. I've got to die to that. My flesh desires to stay home and watch a game on TV when I know I ought to be in church. I got to die to that. Let's make it a little bit more serious. My flesh desires to hug and kiss and touch somebody when I know I ought to get away from that situation as fast as I can run. That's what my flesh desires, and I have to die to it. I have to die to letting my feelings control me. Fear and anger, frustration, being tired, whatever it is, I have to die to my feelings controlling me. If I'm going to have abundant life by making wise decisions, I cannot afford to ever again do something just because I feel like doing it. Let me just ask this question here. How many of us are here today that if we did what we felt like doing, we would have slapped somebody in the last 6 months? Anybody here? Amen. Do I need to bring it home to last week? Yeah. Now, I hope you didn't do it. Amen. No, we've already learned, even in the world, we can't afford to allow our feelings to dictate the decisions that we make. But you know what? Even as Christians, that's what we do most of the time, isn't it? You're feeling frustrated. You're feeling angry. You're feeling upset. How do you treat the people around you? Like somebody who's angry, frustrated, and upset. Isn't that right? Because you feel that way. And what the Word is telling us is, from the moment that you become a Christian, wanting to live the abundant life, you got to put that to death. I have to put to death wanting to please people. The person that you want to please, that you feel like you have to please in order to be accepted or liked, that person is the one who controls your life. If you feel like I got to please that person in order to be accepted or liked, to be part of the crowd, then you will do what they want you to do. And they now are in control of your life. You see, the Word of God is saying, I have to die to all of that. There's only one person I need to please, the new owner. Amen? Go over to Romans chapter 13. Look at verse 14. The bottom line is, I cannot allow my flesh to run me. I've got to put it to death. Look at Romans 13, 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Do not make provision to fulfill the ungodly desires of your flesh. What does that mean? Let me translate it for you. It means you need to do everything you can to make it hard and not easy for your flesh to get what it wants when what it wants is ungodly. And when you do that, you need to do it ahead of time. If I'm going to make provision to go to take a trip to Los Angeles, what do I need to do? Well, I need to get a ticket. I need to arrange for a hotel. I need to arrange for my transportation to and from the airport. All of that kind of stuff. When do I do that? Do I run out to the airport and start trying to make arrangements? No, what? I do it ahead of time. Amen? Well, guess what? If I am going to make no provision to fulfill the lust of my flesh, I need to set boundaries in place in my life ahead of time. I've shared this with you before. There was a time in my life when I didn't set up boundaries. I had a girlfriend when I was in Colorado. We decided to take a trip to California together. And of course, to save money, anybody have an idea what we did? We stayed in the same rooms the whole way. Now, let me just assure you, so I don't want anybody getting wrong ideas here. Nothing happened. Not because I wasn't thinking about it. Guess what? That was a situation where I had set it up for my flesh to fail. If she had turned and looked at me the right way, and we're in that motel room together, I might not even be here in front of you right now. Amen? Because my life would be different. It was a dumb decision. And you know why it happened? I did not set up boundaries. You see, I needed to have sat down and thought through what the boundaries on my life need to be in light of the Word of God. What's going to please God? What's not going to please Him? Before I ever got into that situation. And one of those boundaries is, I don't get into a motel room with a woman that I'm not married to and we're alone. That's a boundary. Guess what? It's a boundary today. Amen? How much TV are you going to watch? You need to set up some boundaries. Anybody here watch more TV than you want to? Does that TV ever get in the way of you doing something you know you ought to do? You need to set up some boundaries. You need to set up some boundaries about what you will eat, what you will smoke, what you will drink, and what you will shoot into your body. You need to set up some boundaries. You need to set up some boundaries about the people that you're going to run with. Can I confess some more? I remember when I was in Colorado working with IBM, and so a group of my friends decided we're going to go to a topless bar. Now here I am, big time Christian. I don't remember the exact time, but I probably was a deacon in the church by then. And my friends wanted to go to a topless bar. You know what I did? I went. You see, I ran with some folks that were living an ungodly lifestyle, and because I didn't have boundaries, I went where they went. Did what they did. I needed to have sat down and thought through, wait a minute, there's some things, I don't care how good my friend, or good a friend he is, I'm not doing that. And it has to be done ahead of time. The boundaries have to be set up before you get into that situation. Those of you who are single, you go out on a date, what are your boundaries? Will you hug, kiss, touch, go further than that? You need to know What are the godly, biblical boundaries that are going to please God and not yourself? And you got to set it up before you go. I remember when I was playing football, we would run plays over and over and over and over again. You know what the purpose of that was? So that when I got in the game, I wouldn't have to think about it. It would be automatic. Let me tell you something. If you're a football player who has to think what to do, you've already lost. Because it's too quick for that. And so what the coaches would do, they would say, do it and do it. Go over it and go over it and go over it. So that when that situation occurs, your reaction is automatic. That's what you need to have as a Christian. Understand this. When you are alone someplace with a person of the opposite sex that you are not married to, and the lights are low and the music is on, that's the wrong time to be trying to decide what your boundaries are. You're already in the game and it's going too fast. You got to set up your boundaries out on the practice field, amen? Beforehand. You need to take the time, get out your Bible, walk through the word and decide in these areas of life, what will my boundaries be? What line will I not step over so that I can be sure that I will make no provision for my flesh to fulfill its lust and cause me to make dumb decisions in life? I have some boundaries here. You know, I have to work sometimes here when there's only a woman. One of the boundaries that I've set up is, you know, during the greeting time, I'll come out and I'll hug everybody and, you know, we just have a great time. But when I'm here alone with a woman, I do not touch her. Not at all. I mean, I don't know if some of the women who have been here, if you've noticed, if I hand you a pen, I make sure my fingers don't touch yours. Why? Because I think there's going to be some spark that jumps in. No. But it's a boundary. And do you know how you set boundaries up? You set boundaries up far enough away from the situation so that you are not even getting close to being in trouble. Because you'll end up in trouble before you knew what happened to you. Amen? So I set my boundaries up so that, and here's something that's very important about a boundary. I know when I've stepped across a line. When I've stepped across a line that I should not step across. And so even if I do step across that line, the boundary has been placed far enough away from the critical situation so that I'm not in trouble yet, but I recognize I've crossed a line I shouldn't cross. And so I need to set up boundaries that keep me out of trouble, that do not give my flesh the opportunity to overwhelm me. And if you will do that, I promise you on the basis of God's word that you will begin making quality decisions in life, and those decisions will lead you to the abundant life that Jesus came to give.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin. inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.